Good evening, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. Please like and share. Follow all of the platforms. Follow me on Instagram at JL Counseling LLC. Like my business page at JL Counseling LLC on Facebook. And subscribe to JL Counseling on YouTube. And this episode will actually be up on YouTube tomorrow. Hello, thank you for joining. I'm going to give it about 5 minutes or so, well, until 8:05 for some more people to come on. Please like and share. This is going to be a very interesting topic today, and we're going to jump right into it, too. It's not going to be any fluff material, no mental health news today. We're just going to jump right into the questions. I have a lot of questions for my colleague, Bridget. And so I will be bringing her up from backstage shortly. Hello, everybody. If you are watching, go ahead and put in the comments where you are listening from. What city and state you're listening from. And don't forget to like and share and subscribe. And I'm actually going to put in the comments. Hold on, let me copy this link. So for those of you who may have questions throughout the duration of this episode, I'm going to put a link in the chat, in the comments, for you to go and you can submit your questions anonymously. So you won't have to ask a question that you might feel a little self-conscious about in the comments for everybody to know it was you. So if you have a question regarding sex therapy or anything like sex related, as it relates to like mental health, relationship issues, things like that, just feel free to, or like sexual health and stuff like that, feel free to use that link. Hello, welcome. Welcome to those of you who are joining us. Thank you for joining us. We're going to be talking about sex therapy in just a moment. Like, share, follow, subscribe. You'll see all of the handles right there. Yeah. And like I said, if you guys have any questions that you want to ask anonymously, I put the link in the chat. Welcome, welcome. Please like and share. Tell other people we're about to talk about sex therapy. This is going to be very interesting. I'm excited about it. All right, so it's 8:05, so I'm going to go ahead and get started, and I'm sure more people will join us as time goes by. Just continue to like and share and tell people how great this episode is. So I'm about to bring on my colleague and friend and sorority sister, and she's just all the things. She's a really, really sweet therapist, a great therapist, and I'm so excited to talk to her today about sex therapy because this is something that is not talked about, and a lot of people don't realize that there is somebody out there to help you as it relates to your sexual health, whether that's just for you as an individual and even in your relationships as well. So I'm going to bring on my colleague, Bridget Williams. And so I'm going to add her to the stream. Hi, Bridget. And you're muted.
Look, you did tell me to make sure I unmuted. Hello, everyone. Hey, Jessica.
Hello. Well, thank you. First of all, just thank you so much for agreeing to do this. I was so excited. And y'all, I wanted her to do this so badly. I was like, what day can you do it? Like, what? You know, my schedule will work with, I'll be flexible with your schedule. So I'm so happy that you could come on today. And I think this is going to really help a lot of people to talk to you about some of these different subjects. So just kind of tell us a little bit about yourself, just to kind of start off, and just tell us a little bit about yourself and your background.
Okay. Well, I am an LPC. I've been in the mental health field for, I would say, probably over 18 years in different realms of it. I am a mother of five. I've been married for 17 years. I have no babies, just all teenagers and a teenagers to adults and a precious little dog. So I am just, I love what I do. And this is, I'm just really ready to forge this path of a new way of thinking. I am ready to be able to help others in their issues and struggles and of enlightenment, of ready to embrace who they are, to understand maybe some things about themselves that they did not understand before. And I'm ready to go along on the journey. So I want to see all these sexually liberated people in Shreveport, Louisiana, and the surrounding areas. I'm ready to see it.
And beyond, because we have some people that tune in from Texas and Florida too. So,
oh, hey, y'all.
So, yeah, so I don't know if they're on right now, but they will definitely watch. They usually watch pretty frequently. So, okay, well, first off, just kind of tell us a little bit about what started you on your journey of wanting to specialize in the area of sex therapy.
Okay, well, I have always been interested in it. But at the time when I was interested in it and started on the path to counseling, I didn't know which avenue to go. But I always saw that there was a need. There was always a struggle. There were always questions, you know. And it wasn't necessarily about the physical part, but it was just about the mental part. Like, why do people, of course, with everybody in counseling, why do people do what they do or don't? You know, why do people feel the way that they feel? So when the opportunity, I met a friend of mine and an opportunity came to me to about the Sexual Health Alliance. And I looked at it and I was like, this is it. This is something that I do want to do. So I started doing some research. I actually applied. I got in for the certification and it's just been on and popping ever since. Mm-hmm. So, but here, especially in our area, I know in the southern region, we do have a few sex therapists that look like you and I. Mm-hmm. So they are very sexually liberated down south. They're very open to things. But I think the further north that we get, that tends to narrow. So we have people, we don't have people to advocate for sexual health. Mm-hmm. We don't have people to advocate, a lot of people to advocate for the LGBTQ community. And so I said, why not? I'm the person for you. So I wanted to be able to, like I say, open that door for people that are having these issues, because this is something that is very untapped here. It's very hush hush. Unspoken, and we have a lot of issues, and especially in our community. So I wanted to be able to service our community in that way.
Right. There definitely is a need, because I've been looking for another Black therapist that specialized in that area that was up here, because the only other Black therapist that I could refer them to was down south, like you said. And so they couldn't really see anybody in person, which telehealth is fine. But, you know, sometimes just depending on the client, they need that in-person therapy. And so it is helpful. And I'm so excited to have you here in Shreveport. And hopefully, you know, we enlighten some people and maybe, you know, you'll inspire some other therapist to maybe have a niche in that area as well. I think it's hard to get some of us to to really buckle down and focus on one area, because there's so much we want to do, right? We want to help everybody, but
right,
you know, I think there definitely is a need. And so that kind of leads me to the first question, which was the most popular question that I received from most people, was what exactly is sex therapy? Because when I mentioned it and was asking people, like, do you have any questions? They were like, what is that? Like, what exactly does that mean? And so can you tell us a little bit about what exactly is sex therapy?
Okay, well, sure. Well, I know when you hear sex therapy, your mind automatically goes to the left, right? You automatically think Dr. Ruth and the late night TV shows with people playing with the toys and all this kind of stuff like that. But that's not necessarily what that is. Sex therapy is basically talk therapy. You're going just like you're going to your regular therapist to talk about anxiety or depression or anything else. You're coming to me to talk about relationship issues, intimacy issues, sexual issues, physical issues that you want help enhancing, or you want help managing, or help understanding. So for me, I don't do any touching. I don't do any, let me see you do this with each other. It's none of that. You may get some homework and to report back, but there's no boundary crossing with that. No physical touch or anything like that. It's just mainly talk therapy. How can we get you to where you want to be? You're setting goals, you're meeting those goals, and you're going to the next one. If there's one and everything is all good, then, hey, I've done my job and you're free to go. So that's pretty much what that is. It's just a specialized area.
Right. And thank you for clarifying that, like, that there are boundaries and it's not what we kind of go to the extreme about in our minds when we think about sex therapy. And that was actually a question that somebody asked. They were like, so, like, are they, like, teaching us how to have sex or anything? And I was like, no. So thank you for clarifying that, because that may concern a lot of people, because they don't know what it entails. And, depending on if they've had any trauma in the past or anything, they might be a little reluctant to go to sex therapy because they don't know exactly what that entails. So thank you for clarifying that. Thank you to those who are just now tuning in. Please like, share, comment, subscribe. And if you have any questions about anything pertaining to sex therapy, please feel free to either put it in the comments, or I'm going to share the anonymous link again in the comment section. So if you have any questions that you want to ask anonymously, use that link that I just shared in the comment section and you might get your question answered live. Okay, so moving on to the next question. Why do you think it is so hard for people to talk about sex?
Oh, that's a good one. Well, it's hard for people to talk about sex because it's always been a stigma attached to it. It's taboo. Nobody talks about it, not even in school. You have sex education, but what do they teach you? They teach you to abstain, right? They don't teach you anything else. So, and that's all we know. And you think about your sexual activity, your sexual history, the first time you ever did it, how did you learn that? It was because of what maybe grandmama told you, maybe what mama told you, maybe what your boyfriend told you at the time. Your friends, that's who you confided in, you talk to, and they tell you, oh, well, girl, you need to do this and you need to do that, which sometimes, a lot of times, is all wrong, right? Mm-hmm. Even your parents, they just tell you what has been told to them. Mm-hmm. And so, so you have this way of thinking. So when there are other, so that's just the sexual part. Mm-hmm. But then when you talk about alternative relationship styles and you talk about, the LGBTQ community and, sexual preference or sexual lifestyle or sexual, gender identity, when you start getting into the depth of that, that is very difficult to grasp. So a lot of times you run away mm-hmm. or push away things that you don't understand. So you rather not talk about it at all and just go on because you don't understand it. And so that's why I think it is so hard, because some of these things and concepts, even for me, sometimes are still like, what? Like, they got all of it. I mean, really? You know, you're asking, it's just like, really, all these things do exist. You know, I mean, it's a whole world out there that people don't really realize that are out there. And so, but again, that taboo, that stigma is attached to that. And it's just always, we've just grown in a culture to where it's just hush hush, and you just find out on your own. And that's something that's kept within the house or within the bedroom, you know?
Right. Yes, I totally agree. Like, a lot of what we know about sex is learned either from family members or friends, or, you know, unfortunately for a lot of people, it may be because of childhood trauma. You know, they were exposed to things too early, or lack of supervision, or were exposed to things, watching things on television too early. So there comes a lot of shame from things. You know, we don't do that, especially because, like you said, it's kind of like a regional thing, or like the culture of where you live too. So down south in New Orleans, they're a little bit more free and open to talk about those things, but you know, maybe on the West Coast also, but as we get up like in the Bible Belt region, mm-hmm. It can be, it's just like, you know, abstinence, don't have sex before marriage. And that's just not necessarily realistic. And a lot of people may struggle with that mentally.
Right.
Kind of be another good reason to go to a sex therapist. If you're struggling with, you know, some things that maybe you were taught as a kid, and now you're having trouble trying to navigate sex and your sexual health as an adult.
Right. And then, don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with abstaining and waiting until you're married. But when you get married and you do it, do you know what you're doing? Do you even know? I mean, I saw something on TikTok the other day where they asked men where the clitoris was, and they pointed like all different directions, but where it actually was, you know, it's just random people on the street. And so it's just this, even just the simplest thing as understanding your body parts. Mm-hmm. What is what, you know, how big is the clitoris? It's actually bigger than what people think it is. What they call it is the little man in the boat. It's bigger than that. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? There's more nerves in all these places that, you know, in your body. And, you know, some women don't even know their bodies, you right. know, and so all they know is pocketbook. Keep your pocketbook closed. Don't, you know, do this, don't do that. But what is your body? You know, you can't point to where your body is. So, I mean, so it's just those little things there, you know, and again, like, nobody is saying that abstinence before marriage is bad or good, you know, but it's just a matter of what do you know when you get into that situation. You have to be educated, and the right. education is not there.
Right. So I have a comment on my phone that said, Angela says, yes, I definitely learned from friends. My mom wouldn't talk about it. So, and I've run across that too, you know, where I've had, cause I, you know, I've counseled kids and teenagers for the last, you know, 7 years mostly. And I've had some where their parents just didn't talk to them about it at all. Yeah. So I guess that kind of leads me to the next question. Let's see. I had it on here. What's a good way to, like, what advice do you have for parents that may want to talk to, or they know they need to talk to their kids about it, but they just don't know how? Like, do you have any suggestions for how parents can have the talk with their kids?
Like everything else, you have materials that are age appropriate, mm-hmm. you know? And so if you're talking to your toddler, and you're not necessarily talking to them about sex, but you're talking to them about their body, right? So you would use the term, I encourage using the actual term, vagina, penis, you know, I would encourage that, because they will know. I know when my kids were younger, I used it all. you know, anything that a grown person could come and say, let me see, can I touch, you know, your candy, your pocketbook, your tutu, pee-pee, whatever. I use all those things to say, all those words mean this, you know, this is part of your body. And this is something that adults do not need to touch. You know, if someone touches you there, you need to let me know. So, you know, so you start off with that. And when they get older, they'll say, Mom, someone touched my vagina, someone touched my penis, someone did, you know. And then once they get older, they start, you can start using some slang terms, start increasing what you're talking about. So, because I think I would say probably the age that kids start having consensual sex, you know, is in middle school, you know, if not sooner, you know. And so, again, they're just doing it. They don't know what hole to put it in, what, you know, they just, if it fit, that's where they're putting it, right? So, you know, start to talk to them about their bodies and their bodies changing, because at the age, you know, 12, 13, 14 years old, then we have in puberty, right? Mm-hmm. So what are these things that are happening to my body right now? Son, I noticed you got a little peach fuzz on your face. Let's come here. Let me talk to you. You know, and, you know, I would get all in the business. You know, do you have hair down there? Do you have these feelings? What do you feel at night? Do you need some private time? You know, just kind of like those things like that, and making sure that, you know, things like masturbation is not taboo. You know, don't be ashamed of that. Now, you don't have to go screaming from the rooftops, but at the same time, I see you, you know you, I've been there. And so making sure that they have that space to share. I think I've gotten to the point to where my kids overshare sometimes. Like, I didn't want to know that, you know, but I appreciate it, you know, that they do find trust. So, you know, making sure that they have a safe space to share that information with you, that I'm feeling this way. I feel like I'm ready to have sex. Do you know what that entails? You know, and go into detail. This is what that entails. These are the consequences of having unprotected sex. Do I need to take you to Planned Parenthood? Do I need to buy you some condoms? Do I need to put you on birth control? You know, just have that open conversation. And this is, as you see, the conversation progresses as they get older. You know, but if you start when they're young, I think it gives them that opportunity or that confidence in you to know that you won't be shunned away. I know I could never tell my mom, you know, I didn't want to talk to my mom about that, you know? And so, and like I say, I learned a lot of things from peers, you know? And so, but just anything, if you're out, even when you get older and the kids start dating, like, what is a safe date, right? What do you do? What is consent? I have a shirt on that says I love consent by Goody Harris. It's gonna, but you know, what is consent? You know, what is consensual? You can say no in the middle of making out. No, I don't want to do this no more. And that is no. That is, you have said no and he or she should stop. Mm-hmm. Right. So, and them knowing that, and if they don't stop, this is the way that you get out of it. And you better call me, you know, so I can, you know, just give them an opportunity to know that they don't have to keep quiet if something happens. You know, and I think it goes a long way. And, you know, you could be transparent and share some of your experiences. I have not done all of that, but they know I've been there, you know. And so, but you want to be able to let your child know that you've been there, you know, and you don't have to hide and they won't be judged.
I totally agree. My mom was the complete opposite of some of you guys' parents, because my mom wanted to talk about that stuff with me. And I was a very shy and reserved kid and so embarrassed. Like, I would cry. Like, I would cry. I was just so embarrassed about that. So what would you say about the parents that are open to talking about that, but maybe their child is just kind of timid or shy or reserved?
I wouldn't necessarily just force it on them. You know, you're going to listen to this. You know, I'm going to tell you all the nasty, you know, do all of this. Because then again, that shuts down and that embarrasses them. But I believe if you give them the opportunity to say, I am here for you. You know, let's schedule some time to talk to this. What are you comfortable with talking about right now? You know, and it could be just kissing or it could be just knowing the body or cycles, you know, menstrual cycles or anything like that. And then start from there. Because I think, again, that confidence has to be there because you're embarrassed. I don't want to talk to no grown person about what's going on with me. That's nasty, you know? And so it's that embarrassment. So you, again, I know your friends tell you this. You know, it could just be riding in the car because they can't escape then. So, you know, look, I know your friends tell you this, but, you know, can I just drop a little something on you? Can we talk about this just for a little bit? So I think asking permission is fine, especially to those ones that are really, really shy, you know, because you don't want to shock them into something, you know, and just periodically, you know, or set a date. You know, can we have a date to talk about this? Or can we have a date, just you and me time, just girls time, so we can kind of hang out and get in, just open that door.
Right. Thank you for that. I think that'll be very helpful for some people who are listening that may have some older teens and even younger teens. And I tell people all the time, even younger kids, I mean, because I have small children, but I've taught both of my children the technical terms for their body parts. And I think that is so important. And we try to avoid conversations. We try to use little nicknames and things, but it's a vagina, it's a penis. There's nothing that you have to hide about that. And I think once we stop hiding things, then our children will be more open to us in communicating with us, and they'll be safer. Like you said, that can prevent a lot of things from happening, you know, pregnancy and things like that later on, teen pregnancy and all of that. It can prevent a lot of that. So next question is, what should I expect during my first sex therapy session? So what happens in that first session? Because I'm sure there's a whole lot going on in somebody's mind. Like, what is she about to do?
Right. So, like for me, I like to offer a 15-minute consultation free, just to talk about, like, you know, why are you here? You know, and of course, I'm not going to take any Jeepers Creepers. And, you know, so, you know, I need to know what is the reason why you are seeking what you're, you know, sex therapy. So they pretty much during that 15-minute conversation that we have a talk, I pretty much kind of explain to them what is the next step. So when you enter my office or, you know, into your first actual teletherapy Zoom meeting, then basically, it's an assessment. Like, you'll have questions, and normally I try to give it to you prior to that. You'll have it completed to me before your first session so I can see where you are with things. Again, talking about what exactly is the reason here. What are your goals that you're setting for yourself? What do you hope to achieve? Same thing. And how do we get there? Who do you want involved? So we talk about privacy. We talk about the boundaries, you know, and of course you get as if anybody has gone to therapy before, you always get your declaration with everything in there, do's and don'ts and what we need to do. So we'll talk about that, how often you want to be seen. But we basically talk about a lot about sexual history, medical stuff. You know, do you have any medical problems? If there's any questions that are on that assessment that you or questionnaire that you fill out, then I'll probably ask more questions just to get a clearer picture of what is going on. And then at the end of that session, it's more so, okay, this is your goal that you want to achieve. Let me tell you, this is what the next step is going to be, you know? And so it's slow, you know, it's not just going to be jumping in there and say, okay, let's, you know, let's get the lube. Let's get the, you know, it's nothing like that, you know. Again, it's like basically trying to figure out what are your side. Do you have, you know, your mental health history? What is that? You know, because that can play a part in what your goals that you're trying to reach as well, you know. So making sure all of that is clear first before you even get started into getting your hands dirty with anything.
Okay, good. That's good to know. So that kind of leads me into the next question of does your partner have to participate in the sessions with you, or can you just go as an individual? And there was another question that was kind of similar, and I'll just add that on here. Do you have to be in a relationship to go to a sex therapist? Mm-hmm.
So no, you do not have to be in a relationship to go to sex therapy, because this is about you. And you want to make sure, you know, it's the issue with you. Now, sometimes you do have relationship issues, but if it is a relationship issue, then that's when your partner comes in. Wow. But technically, when you come in, if it's not couples already coming in together, you are coming in for you. If there's a homework assignment or something that needs to be done with the partner, and if like some feedback is necessary, then of course, you know, I would ask, would you like your partner to attend and for this session? And then yes, I would. But mainly when you come in, it's for you. It's not for anybody else.
Okay. That's good to know. Cause I think a lot of people, they may have issues with their partner, but maybe they're just not ready to kind of deal with that in a couple session. Mm-hmm. And so they might want to do some individual sessions first and kind of deal with their own issues, and then maybe bring their partner in at a later time.
Yeah, because you might have a couple come in for infidelity. Mm-hmm. That you may need them to be in there together. Like, mm-hmm. How do we achieve this? You have agreed. One partner has cheated on the other, mm-hmm. but you've agreed to stay together. How do we make it through this? Mm-hmm. So I work with that, right? And so we talk about the steps on how do we get through this together. And so you're working this together as a unit. Versus mm-hmm. just one person. But if it's something else, like, you know, low libido, or, you know, exploring, you know, another type of, or, you know, some gender confusion, or, you know, maybe some sexuality confusion. Like, I think I might be a lesbian, you know, and I don't know how to tell my husband, those types of things like that. You know, that's individual.
Okay, good. So can people really recover from infidelity is the next question.
I've seen it. I've seen it with therapy and without it, you know. So the answer is yes. People can recover. I think it's about rebuilding that trust that you have. First, exploring, you got to find the root of what's going on, right? So just like anything else, what is the root? What caused this? Is there something that's missing? Was there fulfillment that you thought that you weren't getting at home? Is, you know, she not as wild in the bedroom as you would want her to be? So you found Shaniqua over here that's willing to do anything and everything, right? You know, so to fulfill those sexual desires. So if you're willing to stay, then what is it? What is it that you want from her? Because obviously it's some communication issues going on, right? Yeah. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about how do we communicate with each other? How do we build that trust back? What do we think that intimacy is? You know, because just like he or she may be missing something, the other partner is missing something as well, you know? So we have to heal those wounds.
Yeah, most definitely. I feel like sometimes in situations that I've seen where this has happened, the perpetrator or the one who cheated, mm-hmm. really just wishes the other person would just, like, you know, if you say you're going to forgive, just forgive and just don't bring it up anymore. And they just want to move on quickly. But, you know, you can't determine how long somebody takes to process and get through that. And it's a lot of patience, I believe,
that's involved
in that. And so that would be a good reason to go to a sex therapist and kind of work some of those things out and discuss, you know, being patient with each other.
Yeah.
And kind of relearning each other, because, you know, even during that process, both of you have changed mm-hmm. in ways. And so, mm-hmm. I definitely can see people recovering from it, but it definitely probably isn't very easy.
Right. And things don't happen, like you said, overnight. Mm-hmm. You can't tell anybody when they should be over something, mm-hmm. you know, because that's them, you know? And so then you look at it not only from the emotional aspect that you're hurt, but now, okay, I still love you. I want to be with you. You think everything's all right, but we're still not having sex. You know, it doesn't work that way. You know, and just Rachel, you're right. Forgiveness does not equal automatic healing. She is absolutely correct. Yeah. And so, you know, and so how do we move past this? It's not, you're not going to jump into being intimate. Not, I mean, because still it's trust. You've been with somebody else. You violated our bed. You violated us, you know, the bond that we had. So it starts from you starting back to square one, you know, and that person, the cheater, has to be okay with starting back to square one.
Right.
You know, yes, most definitely.
So moving on to the next question. How do you handle a partner that doesn't want to have sex as much as you do?
Be there. You know, again, it's about that communication. Mm-hmm. Asking your partner, what does intimacy look like? What do they need, right? What does intimacy look like for them? And one of the things, reason may that a partner may not want to have sex as much as the other one, because it could be medical issues. You know, people, cancer, chemo, you know, drains your energy. You have women going through menopause, stress, depression, anxiety, because work can drain you, right? Mm-hmm. And so you got all these external factors going on, finances, you know, you didn't pay the bill. Our lights got turned off last month. I don't want to lay up, right? That's not in me right now. I need you to take care of all of this, you know, so that sense of security, you know, mm-hmm. there is a factor. If it's not there, sometimes you that it's not in you to do, you know, it could be some distraction somewhere. And so you want to have an open communication, right? Mm-hmm. And be able to talk about these things. What is it that you need from me? What does I need from you? And like I said before, there's a difference between sex and intimacy, mm-hmm. you know, and some people crave intimacy. Let's cuddle up and watch TV, and that's all I need to satisfy me right now. It doesn't mean that I need you to squeeze and kiss, you know, and lick all on my neck and all this kind of stuff. This is just what I need from you right now, you know? And so understanding what that sense of intimacy that person wants, mm-hmm. you know, and again, that understanding. So you could plan time to do it. Let's plan a date. So we're going to do a Wednesday at 7:00. You know, you better make sure you're ready. So, mm-hmm. but it's Sunday. And I don't know if I'm going to want it Wednesday at 7:00. So mm-hmm. partner, what you going to do to make sure that you lighten the fire for me, right? So call me and talk nice to me. Take me out to eat or, you know, rub my feet. You know, kind of, you have to, foreplay doesn't, mm-hmm. right? You're actually starting the foreplay part days before the action even happens. You're building that anticipation, you know? And so, you know, but is this something that, and it can't be all about you sometimes. It has to be about the partner and what they need.
Right, right. And I think that's something that, like, because I work with the perinatal population, and so I have a lot of women who, after they had their baby, they just weren't the same as mm-hmm. far as the libido, or, you know, some of them may have, like, some vaginal trauma due to childbirth and all of that. And so maybe having sex hurts, or is uncomfortable, or, you know, like the feeling just isn't the same, or they're just so depressed or so tired, or they, you know, they're doing stuff at home, taking care of a newborn baby, and then, you know, maybe the partner comes home and wants to have sex, and it's just like, really, like, I'm exhausted, like, mm-hmm. I've been taking care of a newborn baby all day, so, you know, that's definitely, it takes a lot of, like you said, foreplay, and just kind of, maybe sometimes you have to plan. And when I tell my couples that, like, sometimes you may have to plan sex. The men are looking at me like, what you mean? But it's so true. Like, sometimes, and especially if you have very busy schedules, like, sometimes you do have to plan ahead, and it can't just be like, oh, just jump in and do it. I think it's easier for men to do that, but for women, I think we have to have something more, like you said, that more intimacy and that emotional connection that's kind of been built up for, you know, a few hours or a few days, you know. So most definitely. Somebody else said it's a build up. Some people are laughing. These are great questions. Well, good. I'm glad you guys are liking this. Okay. Let's see how much time we have. We have some more time to ask some more questions. So this is a good one. So this one, a lot of people watch porn. Okay. So how do you deal with a partner who is addicted to porn? You could kind of elaborate on that a little bit.
Okay. Well, that is a good question. And in the sex therapy world, a porn addiction does not exist. The word addiction is not in there. When you look at it, think about porn addiction, or when you think about the over usage of porn, it's all individualized, right? Mm-hmm. So I might watch porn once a week and think that it's too much, right? Mm-hmm. But then another person might watch porn 3 times a day. Mm-hmm. You know, like, woo, you know, yeah, that's a lot. You know, I think that's too much. But for them, it could be normal. Mm-hmm. So you have Howard said watch porn together. And so, but yeah, you have it. First of all, you have to see like, how are you're self-diagnosing, right? Mm-hmm. You come in, I have a porn addiction. Well, who told you that? Where did that come from, right? Right. And so when you think about your religion, you think about your value system, your morals, it's that ties into that guilt and shame that we were talking about earlier, mm-hmm. right? And so if you are ashamed to do it, you hide and go do it. You don't want anybody to know that you're doing it. Mm-hmm. That's where some of that comes from. That's what directs your, so it's that conflict, that moral conflict that you have within yourself to say, this is wrong and I shouldn't be doing this, right? And so, and no one says that religion is wrong. No one says that watching porn is wrong, but it's the conflict, the internal conflict that you have within yourself, right? So when you are dealing with that, you come to a therapy session and it's basically talking about, you know, what is it, educating yourself on it first, right? The psychoeducation. But first, and then you're going to analyze or evaluate your value system. Mm-hmm. And so in the end, you're basically either changing your value system to meet your action or changing your action to meet your value system. Like, which one, I guess you would say, is more important to you. Mm-hmm. Also, you could look at your medical, you know, like mental, do you have OCD? You know, is something that you just fixated on, autism, you know, like you have this thing, or you have some type of depression, you have bipolar, like, you know, analyzing that, doing that evaluation to see if there's anything that is exacerbating or, you know, increasing the porn usage. I'll even throw in sex in there too. Mm-hmm. The sex usage. So then also, what is fulfilling you? How does this fulfill you? Mm-hmm. Right? And is there anything that could be used to substitute that? You have a lot of people that watch porn because it's a fantasy of theirs. Mm-hmm. And so they're watching porn because their partner or lack of doesn't do that, you know. Just let's talk about threesome, right? So I'm watching the threesome, my partner is not into this at all. Mm-hmm. Don't want it, no thoughts about it at all. And so, but this is something that I'm interested in, so I watch it to fulfill myself, you know, and to fulfill my curiosity. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna go out and do it, I just watch it, right? But the partner might have an issue with it.
Yeah.
And so now you're addicted to porn, you watch it all the time, but this is one of my fantasies. So is this something that you and your partner would like to, you know, explore? Mm-hmm. You know, would she consider exploring? Can you bring it, you know, have you had this conversation with her that this is something that I really want to do, you mm-hmm. know? And if not, then is she okay with you? Is she, in 9 times 10, she might be okay with you watching porn because she don't want you to go out and do it with somebody else, you know.
What do you say to the people that they don't want to, you know, like the, what's his name, say watch it together, they don't want to do that because they're just, they don't like porn at all, they're maybe disgusted by it or it's a moral issue or whatever, but you know, maybe their spouse is like expecting for them to do things that they see on the porn. Like, how do you navigate that where it's like, no, I don't want to do those acts. And I also don't want my spouse watching them because they might view that as like cheating.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say to that? Or how would you go about dealing with that with a couple like that?
Well, that's a good question, girl. just basically, you know, again, that sexual education part, right? So you got the psycho education part. Telling this is what porn is. This is something that he or she may be interested in. Of course, you're not interested in it, but this is what this means to this person, right? And I think it needs to be a level of some type of compromise, mm-hmm. in a way. But again, because it could get to the point where it makes or breaks the relationship, you know. Right. So I think it all depends on what is that particular person willing to take and will not. Is this, you having a threesome worth your relationship? You know, mm-hmm. again, is him watching porn worth your relationship? Like, is it really doing any harm? You know, and again, you know, if you're not going to work because he's watching porn, he's not watching the kids can put a fork in the socket because he in the bathroom watching porn, we got a problem, right? Mm-hmm. This is something that we need to address. But if, you know, he's soaking in the bathtub watching porn and you in the bed, is it really hurting? You know, so I think you just really have to weigh out like the benefit, I wouldn't say the pros and the cons, but is it hurting or helping, you know, the relationship? Is this something that this is your moral compass, right? So you're not watching it, but he or she is still an individual.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you not impose, mm-hmm. on their value system? You already knew what the value system was a lot of times when you met this person. You know what you married sometime when you married, unless you married them in a week, you know. You pretty much know what you got, you know. So it's just kind of like, how do I let this person be that individual with boundaries, right? You still want to have some boundaries, and I still want to respect you as a person. I want to respect you as my partner. So how can we come to a compromise and create boundaries? So, of course, I'm not going to watch it while you're here. But when you're at work, I'm all in it. You know, that type of thing like that. You don't see me doing it. You fine. We all good. It's all good to the world. You know, so it's just kind of like, what is worth it to you? Where is your value system?
Okay, I think that's good and that's important. I mean, that's something, you know, to think about, like having that balance in those boundaries and that communication. It all comes down to those things, like communication and respecting each other's boundaries and just compromising in certain areas.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe kind of changing some of our ideas and just educating ourselves on porn and sex and just really analyzing, which is why I think that would be so helpful. A lot of people probably need to come to you because I think a lot of people struggle with, you know, just things that they were taught in their, you know, just kind of going back and forth that struggle with their values. Mm-hmm. And all of that. So
yeah, and like Howard, he put, you know, that's definitely detrimental when a spouse looks down upon, mm-hmm. another person. So it's just like, again, there goes that judgment, mm-hmm. that shame and that guilt, right? Mm-hmm. And so you have to hide to do it because now you feel like that you're being judged. And I think that's the part right there that really needs to be addressed. Because you married me and now you're shaming me for doing something, you know, and that is detrimental to me. So now you might be causing depression. Mm-hmm. You might be causing anxiety, you know, in trouble in your relationship. Right. It now was rocky because now you think that I'm some other kind of way. So now even if you wanted me to do something or you wanted to have this talk, all of a sudden I can't talk to you because I can't even trust you, because I don't even know if you're going to look at me the same once I reveal to you how, you know, something that I want to do or how I feel. Right.
It creates more secrecy and more.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Rachel said it would be nice if couples had these tough conversations before they commit. I agree.
I do put better counseling too.
Yes, I agree. Because I see a lot of couples that I'll be like, y'all didn't talk about this before you guys got decided to even get engaged. Like, there's so many conversations that need to be had. And sex is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it needs to happen in grave detail, but people are uncomfortable with talking about it. So, all the more reason why, you know, going to a sex therapist can help you feel like you're in a safe space to talk about that. So yeah. What are some ways to deal with erectile dysfunction?
Okay, good old ED, right? So, and there are ways. First, you want to know what the causes are. So a lot of times there's health issues. Again, there's stress, you know, from external factors. You also have hormonal imbalances. Some people have some prostate issues. They've had surgery, things like that. And just tired, distracted, right? Mm-hmm. And so first, you want to go to your urologist, you know, and make sure that everything's working, all the pipes are clean down there, right? Mm-hmm. And so everything is working good. Okay, so that's not it. So talk to me a little bit about your headspace. Where are you? You know, oh, well, I just started a new job and it's very, very demanding.
Mm-hmm.
That, man, that could be it, right? Or, you know, we just had a kid and I'm scared I'm going to hurt her, right? So fear, or I'm scared I'm going to have another one. And don't want one at the time, right? So there you have it. So fear is leading that, right? And so I just go watch porn and everything's good, right? Mm-hmm. So you want to figure out kind of like try to pinpoint what the root is,
mm-hmm.
And then if you know medical is clean, you figure out you have some health problems. Let's work through that.
Mm-hmm.
But say there is some health issues going on, overweight, high blood pressure. You know, men hate to take blood pressure pills because of that reason, right? So now we got to think about, again, what are other ways to touch, you know? So sex is basically consensual activity with the purpose of pleasure, right? So I'm not saying intercourse, right, or anything. I'm not saying fellatio or cunnilingus. It's whatever you do for the purpose of pleasure, right? Sexual pleasure. So what are some other ways? Let's find some alternatives, right? So it could be mutual masturbation. It could be, like say, it's extended foreplay. It could be some fantasy play, you know, something like that might heighten the senses. You know, again, it could be just intimacy, massages, you know, things like that. But then there also are toys and sexual enhancement tools that you can have in your toolbox, such as like a vibrating cock ring, or you have a sleeve, or, you know, or something like that to help it lasts longer. I think they have some numbing cream or something like that that you could use that could help extend the time. And use those things and explore, mm-hmm. you know. So that's what you got at, you know, these places that you can go to, adult toy shops. You have independent sellers. And also you can also talk to a sex educator. Mm-hmm. They can help you with some things as well, to see what can help you with that. But there are ways around it. Again, you have to realize that sex is not just me intercourse, mm-hmm. right? It's more to it than that. Mm-hmm. And so I think once you open your mind to other things, then it'll be easier to try. It'll be easier to practice those other alternatives.
Somebody asked, can too much sex cause erectile dysfunction?
Mm, I don't think so. I think your body just does what it does. Mm-hmm. You know, you might become bored, mm-hmm. depending on, you know,
yeah.
If you're just doing the old 1-2 every time, then that might be something like, no, I'm not, you know, I'm not interested in it anymore. It could be the attraction that you have for somebody. I mean, I don't know if you're talking about too much sex with one person or different people or however, but it could be the attraction to that person. So, but I think your body is just, as your body matures and you have health problems and you have, you know, you have these other stresses in your life that cause you not to perform like you would in when you were 18 or 19, right? Right. So I just think, I don't think that that's a too much sex. What is that?
Right. Okay. And so this will probably be our last question. We might be able to have time for one more after this, but I really wanted to get to this one. What are some other common female sexual health issues? So we talked about the erectile dysfunction with the men, but what are some issues that women may deal with?
Okay. Well, there are some issues that a lot of women do not talk about that is happening. Again, they think it's normal and mm-hmm. it's not really. So make sure that anytime that you feel like you have an issue with changing your body, that please go and talk to your gynecologist. All right. So you have a vaginismus, which is the tightness of the muscles. And it can lead in the tightness of the muscles in the pubic bone. And it can actually lead to painful sex. Right. And so it could happen probably childbirth, tensed up, like you have really tense muscles. So again, that stress that could cause that. It could be some trauma that has affected you. And so I would say go see a pelvic floor specialist, and it's actually one here. And I'll, if I can post her name on your site, just because I would like to do that, refer it, but she is awesome. So you can go see a pelvic floor specialist. I'm not sure if, about insurance or anything like that, if it's paid for, but that she's the one who would help you, basically a physical therapist that specializes in the pelvic floor muscle to help you strengthen that muscle and to also help you loosen it up. There's also another one called vulvodynia, which is also pain in the vulva area. And of course, we're all going back to high school or whatever to learn the body parts, right? So it's painfulness in that vulva area that you might not want to be touched. It could become irritated. Again, something it's irritable, so you don't want to have any type of sex, so that can keep you from doing that. To try to help that, you can use some lube to help moisturize that area if possible. Again, maybe extended foreplay may help. You also have anorgasmia, which is the inability or difficulty to have orgasms. You have some people that, or women that have not ever had one.
Yeah.
They don't know what it is. They think it's normal, right? Mm-hmm. And so and some people are fine with not having it. Mm-hmm. Some people want it, some people lose it. So it's just a matter of again, that learning how to relax, mm-hmm. because it could be a tension again from sexual trauma. So your mind is could be somewhere like, I don't want to be here. This reminds me of somebody, you know, that wasn't too pleasing to me, that I, you know, that harmed me. So that distraction, again, that stress, because it's not necessarily always up to the man to give you an orgasm. You have to know your body, right? And so once you learn your body, then you know how to teach him or direct him into pleasing you.
Right. You know? Ask for what you need.
Exactly. And so it's a good idea to learn your body. Look in the mirror, look at it, say, hey girl, hey, you know, and get familiar with yourself, you know, get familiar with sensation, get familiar with the way that it makes you feel, and be in the moment, right? and learn to be in the moment. And once you get a hold of that and understand that, then you will be able to do that when somebody, when you're accompanied with somebody. Learn to be in the moment. You say, no, I don't want you to do it this way. Do it this way, you know? And so, again, using seeing a pair before specialist, working through any type of trauma that you might have that's blocking you from having orgasms or anything else, painful sex, working through your anxiety and your depression. What medications are you on, right? Explore all of those things. Use lubrication. If you need, even if you don't need it, use it. It won't hurt. Yeah. You know, again, if you want to own sex toy, get your sex toy, you know, and learn what pleases you. And I just say, get to know yourself.
Right. Well, Bridget, thank you so much. I wish that we could keep talking because this is so good. And like, we have consistently had a lot of people watching for the entire time. So I knew people, you know, they were hiding, but I knew they were going wide. You know? So thank you so much for coming on. I'm going to put your information up here. Hold on, let me make it bigger. Okay, so if you guys are interested in seeing Bridget for sex therapy, here's her information. She is accepting clients. Tell them a little bit about, you know, if you take insurance or how they can, what the process is for them to book an appointment with you.
Okay, well, just call 318-610-9544. We can do a 15-minute consultation to see if this is something that you want to pursue. And then I will set up an appointment with you. Soon you'll be able to do it through the platform. Through my website that my friend Brittany right there, she's making for me. So be able to do book it through the website. And so, but for now, I can book it for you. You can also reach me at Therapy for the Culture on Instagram. Send me an instant message. You can also reach me instant message on Facebook at Green Couch Therapy, or you can email me. And we can set up an appointment.
Okay. Well, y'all definitely need to reach out to her. Like I said, I've been looking for a Black sex therapist out here for a while. So, and do you offer telehealth?
Yes, I do offer telehealth. And it is, I will say, it is self-pay. Insurance does not pay for sex therapy, you guys. But I do work with a sliding scale. So we can work something out, but it is self-pay.
Okay. Yes. And definitely, you know, therapy is an investment in yourself. So that's what I always tell people, like, because we'll spend money on a lot of things that don't feed us anything.
Yes.
You know? Or, you know, it's just kind of a temporary fix, you know, but like therapy and healing, like some past issues and working through your marriage or just working on yourself to be a better person, it's an investment. And for, you know, I think that we shouldn't put a limit on how much we will invest in ourselves. So, yes, please reach out to Bridget. Bridget, thank you so much for logging
in. Thank you for having me.
Guys, please like and share, comment, follow. Follow her on all of her social media platforms as well. And we will see you guys next time. So next week's episode, we will be talking about mental health in the workplace. Because that work can be very stressful. So whether you're working for somebody else or you're working for yourself, you want to tune in. And we just thank you guys for watching, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye. Thank you.